chapter 1, verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up. Hope is like a retirement. Amen? How many people have a retirement account? All right? 401k or whatever you have, IRA, doesn't matter. What you do is you're expecting to stop work at some time. And you're so convinced about it that you put money aside on a periodic basis, maybe monthly, maybe annually, maybe semi-monthly, however you do it, you put money aside because you're expecting to stop work at one point. You're preparing for it. That's what hope does. And you can look to your account and you can see how much your account has built up, how much is that it has increased. That's what hope does. Hope makes the retirement possible. Hope helps you visualize it. So for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel which has come to you, as it is in all the world, and it brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So he's telling us that faith and love spring from hope. And you know 1 Corinthians 13:13, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. But guess what? They all work together. Faith, hope, and love. Those are three qualities and characteristics that you want to have as a believer. Faith, hope, and love. Faith makes your hope a reality. Love is the motive to get your hope accomplished. Love motivates you. Faith gets it. Hope gives you the picture. Come on now. Hallelujah. So faith and love spring from hope. Paul said he heard of their faith in Christ. Do you have the kind of faith that people hear about? Do you have the kind of faith that people see? Are you guilty of being a person of faith? Oh, let's think about that for a minute now. Paul's addressing a church, and he said, we've heard of your faith. Did you know that faith speaks, faith acts? And when you live in faith, did you know that the early church in Acts 6, they were supposed to pick out people who were faithful, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. So faith has some characteristics that you can see and hear that you can identify. Let's be a people of faith and let others hear of our faith. Let others see our faith in action. Amen? When all hell breaks loose on this earth, you can have hope. And hope turns to praise. And praise turns to his presence. And his presence turns to deliverance. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, according to what? Notice, not just mercy, abundant mercy. Has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Is your hope alive or is it dead? Did you know that faith without works is dead? Did you know that you could have dead hope? We don't have a hope that was dead, amen? God breathes life into your hope. Your hope is active. Your hope is powerful. Your hope, you're expecting something good. You come up showing, say, I'm just here to get my good. Not my goods, my good. Hope is expecting something good. How many people, you came on Wednesday night, did you just roll in or did you come expecting something good? A good word. A demonstration, a manifestation. Did you expect something or not? Well, it's Wednesday, Pastor. I'm just glad I'm here. Listen, I'm glad you're here too, but there's more than just being here. Let's be engaged. You gotta come to every time there's a gathering, and you can be there. You know, because our schedules don't allow us to be at everything, but everything that you can be at, you come expecting. You come ready. I'm going to pull it out of him. Expecting something good. Your expectation is God's invitation. You know, when Peter and John, when they came to the gate beautiful, there was a man there who had been lame since birth. And he was begging. And when Peter and John came to him, they had just received the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And you might say they were loaded. They were locked and ready to go, locked and loaded, all right? Fully armed. And this guy, and Peter said, "Look at me." And the Bible says he was expecting something from them. Now, he was probably expecting money because that's what he normally got. And when someone said, "Look at me," he's like, "Oh, they're about to give me something good." But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee, rise and walk." He didn't get money, but he got a miracle. He got a healing. He was restored to health. He got more than he expected, but the expectation was there. But God always supersedes your expectation because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So when you come expecting, God will supersede that expectation. That's good news. Because God, he can always do more. He's always willing to do more. He wants to. God is just a too much God. Anybody that's omnipresent, omniscient, and all-powerful, you know he's a too much God. And let me tell you something. Don't think for a minute that God didn't make this earth big enough with enough resources to take care of all the people necessary. The problem is greed comes in and gets a hold of a one person and they start hoarding everything and not giving it, not spreading it around. But you can bypass that by putting your hope, your expectation, your trust, your patience in God. Parents, you better know how to hope in God. Right? Go with me to Psalm 39. You're going to leave here tonight with your hope elevated. You've just been invited to come to the penthouse of hope. That's the top floor. We're taking it higher. We're raising the bar, amen? I'm going to put a bam in your hope. Psalm 39. Look at verse 7. "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is where? In you." Did you know that he's the God of hope? He's the source of hope. Listen, there's nothing he doesn't know. There's not a way out that he hasn't already provided you. What does it say? "There is no temptation that comes to man that's not common to man," right? God will never put you in anything that will overwhelm you because he always gives you a way out. There is nothing that you can face on this earth without God already giving you a way out before you even got into that circumstance. But how many know we don't always take the way out? You think Moses knew what God was going to do when he got to the Red Sea? He's there at the Red Sea. He hears the horse hooves, the pounding of the pavement of the Pharaoh's chariots behind him. And God says, "What's in your hand?" You know, if you're standing before the Red Sea and all you got is a stick in your hand, you better trust in God. Because that stick ain't going to do nothing unless you're trusting in God. And God said, raise that stick up. You think Moses knew? He didn't know how he was going to be delivered. He didn't know when he was going to be delivered. But he knew, he had hope that God was the deliverer. And he did what God said. He hoped in God. He raised his staff. And all of a sudden, that water began to part. I could see Moses' reaction. But according to one of the Psalms, it says that God had a way that no one knew about under the sea. And Moses put his hope in God, and God led the whole nation of Israel, 2 to 3 million people, across dry ground through the Red Sea. See, you're not responsible to know how God is going to deliver you. Your responsibility is just to know that he will and that he wants to. Okay? And so you're supposed to put your confident expectation in him and let him work it out. You just trust. It's like if you're, you know, how many, you ever see, I like to watch these nature programs, and there's these places that they have these zip lines that go across these rivers. You're on this zip line going across this canyon, and there's, you know, quite a big drop below it. If you slip, that's it. You better put your trust in God like that person on that zip line, because you don't have to know how, but God will get you to where you need to be. He will deliver you. He will set you free. He will make it happen. All you need to do is put your trust in him. Oh, that's too simple, Pastor. Yes, it is. God's not complex. Why does he make it so simple? Because he doesn't want anybody to miss it. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 24. We are saved by hope. Without salvation, we get ourselves in a mess. And there, you know, it's like Humpty Dumpty falling off the wall. There's nobody can put the pieces back together. Can't even say it. Nobody can put the pieces back together again. Great was his fall, right? But notice, we are saved by hope. Hope is the source of our. Listen, you don't know how to get that mess, but you put your trust in God, and all of a sudden, he gets out his dust buster and starts clearing the mess, cleaning up the mess. And then you look back a few, you know, some time later, and you say, look what the Lord has done. I was here. I was in a mess, but he took me from the miry clay. He put my feet upon a solid rock, and the mess, I can see better. I smell better. I look better. I feel better. And all you did was put your hope in God. We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. So hope has to do with the unseen. Do you see yourself healed before you're healed? Do you see all your bills paid when you don't have any money in your account? Come on now. If you don't see it in here, in your heart, it's not going to happen out here. Beloved, 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. How? Even as your soul prospers. If your soul is downcast, your soul's not prospering. So you got to speak to your soul. Come on, soul. Let's get with it, soul. Why are you downcast? Put your hope in God. See, what happens is you get caught up in the emotional realm, the natural realm. That's the realm that Satan operates in. That's the realm that Satan thrives in. He is the natural person. He's the prince of the power of the air. He knows how to pull your emotions. He tempts you with emotions to cause you to sin. He causes anger to come into you so you lash out in the flesh. And it's in that emotional realm that our soul can become downcast, because there's no satisfaction living in the emotional realm. Yes, we have our emotions. Our emotions are simply indicator lights. Our emotions are simply indicator lights on the dashboard, and they say, this needs to be improved. Water's missing here. And there's just an indication that you got to correct something. But we're not to live by our emotions. We're not to live our lives in the emotional realm. We're not to wear our emotions on our sleeve. Because that's no fun amusement ride. But faith is a constant. Faith is steady. Listen, Jesus knows every emotion that you experience. He experienced them all. But yet he overcame the world. How did he do it? He put his hope in God. Even at the cross, he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." He committed himself to God. Why? Because his hope was in God. He was so strong in hope that no one could stop him from doing what God wanted him to do. Oh, they tried. They tried to kill him. They tried to take him out. They tried to criticize him. They tried to stop him, but he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't stop. He kept going. He kept going. Guess what? He accomplished it. His hope in God was so strong that God raised him from the dead. You think being dead for 3 days is not an obstacle? But yet he overcame death. That's how powerful hope is. Go with me to Daniel chapter 3. And I'm going to close with this for tonight. Maybe there's some people here that were in a position like this in Daniel chapter 3. Verse 1. Now Nebuchadnezzar the king, he was a king of Babylon. He made an image of gold about 90 feet tall, and he set it up in the plain of Dura, all right? And he invited all the leaders of the government, the satraps, the captains of the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, all to come to the dedication of this temple. Now, it's not like Nebuchadnezzar had an ego or anything. The temple, the statue was of himself, and he wanted people to worship this golden statue of himself. I bet he thought this song was about him. It's so vain. And so all these people came together. He said, when you hear the music, when you hear the harp, when you hear the bagpipe, when you hear the trumpet, I want everybody to bow and worship this statue. There's a lot of things in this world that this world wants you to do of peer pressure. Okay? And when everybody heard all the music, they would all fall down and worship the statue. And if they didn't, punishment was you'd be cast into a fiery furnace. Now, I don't much like the tropical heat, let alone a furnace. You know, it's not good to be inside the furnace. Outside is fine. Okay, and verse 8. And at the time of this, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They were always jealous of the Jews anyway, because Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego outshined them all with the favor of God. And Daniel was made the head of all the magicians and everything in the kingdom. And they didn't like him to begin with. And the devil's always looking for an opportunity to try to get you out of hope. The devil is the author of hopelessness, but God is the author of hope, which counteracts the hopelessness. It changes the hopelessness. It turns the hopelessness into something positive, into praise, so that God's presence can do what it needs to do. All right? And so these little tattletales were telling on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said, verse 12, certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province, these men, O king, have not regarded you or obeyed you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set, neither should we. Listen, you do not worship the world. You worship God. Your hope is in God. When your hope is in God, nothing else can shake you. It'll try, but it can't shake you. And so the king was in a rage. All right? You ever have a boss that gets in a rage? And he asked them, verse 14, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set? That's right. If they were from the west, they'd say, darn tootin'. So he gives them a second chance. Did you know that peer pressure will always keep trying? Come on, do it. It's not going to hurt you. It won't harm you. Just do it. Just do it. Come on. Please do it. If your hope is in God, you're not going to respond to that. Then they said this. They said, we are not careful, verse 16, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, we don't need to answer you in this matter. I want to tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had hope in God. They were fully aware of the consequence of not bowing down to this statue, but they didn't flinch. They didn't compromise. It's kind of like when Mordecai, in the book of Esther, when Haman would walk by, everybody was supposed to bow to Haman because he got this position. Mordecai would stand up. He refused to bow. And didn't matter how many times Haman came by, Mordecai would stand up. Listen, you can resist temptation. You've got the power. You've got the greater one in you. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You can resist temptation. You can say no to the devil. He can't make you do anything. So I don't want anybody going out here and saying the devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. Zero. Verse 17. If it be so, if you're going to throw me in, they said, our God whom we serve is what? Is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. That's what you call hope in God. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. He's able and he will. Now look at verse 18. But if not, I'm telling you that they are not saying if God doesn't or if God won't or if God can't. That'd be like David going to Goliath. Boy, you're pretty big. I don't know if I can take him. That'd be like Jesus saying, boy, that rock in front of that tomb is pretty heavy. I don't know if I can move it. That'd be like Joshua saying to God, I don't know, God, Jericho's pretty big. I don't know if I can take it. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't say God will deliver me, he's able, and then say if he doesn't. But that's how a lot of people preach it. If you study where everybody talked about deliverance, it was always positive, confident, assurance. They already said what they needed to say. He's able to and he will. But if not, even if you don't throw us in, even if you refrain from putting us into the furnace, be it known to you, King, we're not going to serve your gods. That's what you call hope in God. I don't have hope. They didn't have hope in a golden statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they probably knew that when they get to heaven, they're going to walk on pavement made out of that statue. So I don't have to bow to it on earth. I'll be walking on it in heaven. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Satan, doesn't it? And the form of his visage was changed. against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You could see the demonic spirit come out of him. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now I want you to notice that when you put your hope in God, God's not going to fail you. The Romans says, hope in God will not lead to you being ashamed. Listen, God loves it when the deck is stacked against him, when his back is against the wall. That's when he can show his mighty power. People were asking me the other day, they were asking about our church and how it's grown. You know, in 8 years we've doubled in size. And they said, what have you done? I said, I haven't done anything. I said, it's been God. I said, we just professed the word, we've stuck with our vision, and God's doing it. I'm not taking glory for the growth. Are you kidding me? My hope is in God. I'm not resting on my laurels or my talents. I can do nothing without him. So these mighty men, the mightiest men, the strongest men, they were bound in their coats, their trousers, their hats, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Do you think in the midst of a fiery furnace, it might be a place where you don't know how you're going to get out? But you can say, put your hope in God, because God knows a way out of that furnace. He knows how to overcome every furnace. He knows how to overcome every temptation. So when you're tempted to live your life in the flesh, you know, the flesh wants to have things now. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My flesh's name is Jimmy. I just needed something to rhyme with that. So if you're Jimmy, take no offense, please. And look at verse 22. The furnace was exceeding hot. The flame of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? They didn't have hope in God. They were unbelievers. See, an unbeliever that encounters the fire will get burned, but a believer that will encounter the fire will be saved. Do you know why John, who wrote the Gospel of John and Revelation and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you know why he was exiled to the island of Patmos? Because they tried to boil him in oil, but he wouldn't die. Now, that's not true of every martyr, but it was true for him. They couldn't kill him, so they exiled him. And that's where he got the book of Revelation. Oh, thank you for exiling John. See, his hope was in God. He was in an island by himself that was desolate, that was dry, but yet he got Revelation. He got living water because he put his hope in God. Friend, you and I can put our hope in God. Let's put our hope in God tonight. You may not see a way out, but he knows a way out. You may not know how to get through what you're going through, but he knows how to get through. You may not, your world might seem like it's crumbling around. He can rebuild the world. So look at verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, O king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Let me tell you something. When you put your hope in God, it's an invitation for God's presence to join you and to bring you through. He'll come. He's a very present help. We're in trouble. When you're in trouble, that's when God shines. That's when you can put your hope in God. Your hope in God will not fail. He joined them in the fire. And they were walking around. Woo, they were having a fire party. Oh, come on. When you're in the midst of the fire, when you put your hope in God and you get thrown to the wolves, you get thrown to the fire, you get thrown to the lion, he'll bring you out. So no matter what you're going through tonight, say this, say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out right now. I'm putting my hope in God. And my hope in God will not fail. My hope in God will bring deliverance. My hope in God will change my circumstance. Look at verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, "Blessed be God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." Notice their trust was noticed by the king. He noticed that they didn't flinch. He noticed that they didn't compromise. He noticed that they didn't give up what they believed. "And have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What looked like an impossible situation became a miraculous deliverance when they simply put their hope in God. And you and I, friends, if God did it for them, he'll do it for us. We can put our hope in him just like they did. And we don't have to give in. If sickness has come in your body, you don't have to give in to it. You don't have to welcome it. Don't call it your sickness, your disease. It's not yours. It has no right to be in your body. Put your hope in God, and he'll bring healing and deliverance. Your marriage is not working out. You don't know how it's going to change. Put your hope in God. Listen, when Fiona wanted me to change, she would put her hope in God, and I would come home and I would change. I'd go to work, I'd come home, I'd walk through the door, and the first thing I said was the very thing she was praying about. I'm telling you, that's the truth. Put your hope in God. You don't know how your family's going to get saved? Put your hope in God. He knows how to get them saved. He can reach them. We got to put our hope in God. Amen? Father, we just thank you for your holy word tonight. We magnify you, Lord God. We bless you and we praise you and we magnify you. Father, I thank you that we can put our hope in you, our trust. We can wait on you. We can be patient for your deliverance. You're a mighty God, and your will is to deliver. Your will is to restore. Your will is to build. Your will is to make new and make whole. And we thank you for that, Father, tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to dismiss you tonight, but if you need prayer, I want those that need prayer to come on up, and we want to pray for you.